It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Good morning, Citizen Lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well at the moment. It's such a really pleasant day out there. And we are ready to, in a relaxed way, to talk about, well, the kinds of things that have happened this week.
City of Palmer meeting?
Yeah, I think that's a good one to start with. We were fortunate to be there. It was also a fairly brief meeting. It was 1 hour. You and I both and other people, it really was a focused agenda looking at who was going to fill out the Palmer City Council after Brad Hansen's resignation and taking a job with the city.
So, well, we probably should do our due diligence and just say everybody was there that was supposed to be there, about the empty seat that they were all meeting about. They did have some reports, quick ones from the manager having to do with the parking lot at the fire station that they're trying to repave and figuring out there's been a little few hiccups because it hasn't been paved or dug up for a while, and a little bit about the sewer wastewater plant and how that's going, and a little bit to do with some possible new crosswalks they might have some extra funding for, and a little bit about the Glen Highway project too. And then the clerk had just a few words to say about some openings again on the Parks and Recreation Board and the Planning Commission, which will close this week. They're trying to get everybody, or the 29th, I guess, they're trying to get all the applications in. And reminding everybody that there is going to be an election in October for the borough, and that the packets will be able to be picked up the 16th of July, and at 4:30 the 27th, all the candidates for the packets will have to be all turned in. So those are kind of important things that people need to know as far as reports. And then the mayor had a bit of a report, but nothing earth-shaking, I wouldn't say.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to remind about what some people would refer as kind of administrative and simple things, but really critical if someone is interested in running for a seat on the council. You have to get that packet. You have to get it filled out and turned in, which is an interesting process because it means that you have to go about and have signatures on that packet that show that people are interested in your running. You can't just say, I am, and throw it in.
Not very many, though. It's a pretty small amount, 15 or 30. I don't remember, Mike.
Yeah,
it's
not a large number, but it still means that people do it. And very often, I've been my observation that on the last day, people have put off doing that, and then you may see somebody scurrying around getting the last one or two signatures to put on there.
Right, so they can pick those packets up on the 16th. So they should try to get there early, and there will be three seats up for names on the ballot. One to finish the term of what we're going to talk about next, who was appointed to that seat, Brad Hansen's vacated seat, and then also up for a normal re-election, because their time is up, is Richard Best and Pete LaFrance. So they actually will have a few names on the ballot this time. Those are the incumbents. And then, of course, anybody who decides to run. And Palmer does it a little different than everybody else. You don't actually run against anybody. It's whoever gets the most votes wins. So two separate deals, one for the candidates who run for the remaining term that Mr. Hansen left, and also this where Richard Best and Pete LaFrance, those two seats. So two different choices. Am I right about that, Mike?
That's correct. It took a while to get, in my own mind, all of that straightened down. But that means you could have six or seven people running for the seats presently held by Mr. Best and LaFrance. And the top two whoever got the most votes are the ones that get the seats.
Same thing with the other seats.
Right. Except you're really, in that case, It's kind of an interesting. Well, there you go. That's the interesting calculus that any candidate, as they're looking at the seats, I think would have to say is how do I stack up against the incumbent that is running? Do I go for the one place over here?
Or, for 2-year term.
Yeah, or do I go over there? The other aspect of it is you're never quite sure how many other people or who they will be that will be running until the last moment.
But I do think that there is a time. The clerk didn't really mention it, but I think there is a time you can withdraw your name from the ballot.
Yes.
So that's always sometimes happens is that people decide to run and then they see either who the opponent is or they life happens and they take their name off the ballot. So I think it's more important that if you're leaning that way, you get your names on your petition and you throw your name in it out there and start in earnest. I know later in the meeting, Councilwoman Sabrina Combs mentioned she knocked on 1,000 doors.
Right.
That takes some time to do, especially over the summer when people are gone and you're busy doing other things. And there is some effort there.
Yep, and that is true. Although it is a more focused campaign than having to run, say, for, maybe the assembly, where the district may be extensive geographically and much more difficult to contact people. Okay.
So just two quick things that the mayor brought up that just to bring people's attention. Palmer Pride is the 27th of July, which is always kind of a big thing in Palmer. Local celebration of celebrating just the city of Palmer and some of the businesses and beautification projects that have gone on by individuals that live there. And then we also are being to host the Scottish Games, which I guess is the fourth year, Mike.
Yep.
And they gave a little presentation later in the year, the meeting and fourth in Palmer, 37th year of the game. They're quite excited to be part of this community. I was glad to hear that. They have lots of music coming for it, which sounds really good. One thing I haven't done this year, and I'm going to try to put it on my my calendar this year because it sounds like it's a really good celebration.
I've gone to them. I think each year they've been at the Alaska State Fair. Formerly was held in Eagle River, but then when they tried out the venue at the fairgrounds, it's perfect. It's big, a lot of parking, and it just I think proved to be absolutely a fine venue. And each year it seems to offer an opportunity for Alaskans to see high-level professional competition. There are women, there are men, and then there are different levels of professional competitive events. And you can watch people who are beginning their careers, younger people, and then others who obviously have a lot of skill. And I must admit, the first time I went, I said, okay, I'm going to watch this throwing of the caber, this pole. We'll watch it for a little while, and then hours went by. Somehow, it grabs attention to watch people set up and do this and throw the pole. And I saw people there staying for a long time. So it's a good crowd pleasing type of activity.
Good. Yep. So on to the meat of the meeting, Mike.
Yes.
And that was, of course, as you alluded to earlier, to interview candidates who had actually applied for the vacant seat for Mr. Hansen's seat and 2-year term to be completed. Although, again, reminding listeners that this person will have to run in the fall again with everybody else, so it's kind of a short tenure. There were only two applicants. Sort of a disappointing to me that there was only two, but there were two. One was a newcomer to the process, not new to Alaska, not new to Palmer, but somebody who has not run before. His name was Kip Bailey. He is actually moved to Palmer in 2010. He is currently a teacher at Mirror Lake School for the Alaska School District. Very active with kids, it sounds like, for Scouts, and he was a wrestling coach. His wife has a small business here, and he's done a lot of civic and community engagement, had a pretty strong record of that. And they were given four questions, Mike, and pretty much answered those questions, I guess, most of them having to do with how the city is, what the city of Palmer kind of hurdles that it's facing, and kind of an assessment of the city. So they interviewed Mr. Bailey.
Well,
and
before we move on there, I think my observation was that his answers initially started out pretty strong, but I think the one area that I was hoping to hear more from had to do with recent decisions on the part of the council. And there were a couple of easy ones, of course. One could have been the plastic bag distribution ban or whatever. But it seemed that he really had not taken a look at that. That question was provided in advance, and he pretty much didn't answer it.
Let's talk about that, because they were giving some questions, supplemental questions, it sounds, but I don't know that those particular questions, I mean, there was a list of six questions on the supplemental answers. I think they definitely got those, and he answered all of those, but I think the four that they gave that night were four that they were agreed upon that the attorney sort of blessed could be asked everybody that night. Now, they were up on the wall. If you would have grabbed, the minutes as I did, and I would have known them. But I'm not completely sure that he was aware that those four questions were going to be answered.
Okay.
Asked.
Okay.
But
fair
again,
enough.
Fair to say too that he didn't seem as familiar with the ongoing process of being a council or what the history was. But you know, I guess Mike, I sometimes think we rely a little bit more on history than we do on a fresh perspective. And I think if someone is smart, I've seen people join the assembly that don't have an enormous amount of background with the assembly and do a just fine job because they do their homework. And they look at every issue, not only historically, but they look at them with fresh eyes. So I think he could have done a better job. He was clearly nervous. I think it's his first public office he's applied for. Probably doesn't do a huge amount of public speaking except to his eighth grade classroom, but good for him for throwing his name out there, I guess.
Yep, I'd agree.
And then a familiar face was interviewed next that had no problems answering the questions because she spent 6 years on the council and actually ran last fall, and that was Linda Combs. And she ran for her seat to defend her seat last fall, and the voters decided otherwise, and she was not elected, but she came back to once again serve in this capacity and didn't have any trouble because she had spent those 6 years coming up with a recent, as you said, a recent decision or that the city the city council had to face. So in the end, that's who they picked. It was a six people voting and a 4-2 vote.
That's correct.
There was some discussion at the table that I think was definitely legitimate discussion about it. One coming from Mr. LaFrance that, and also from Ms. Combs, which was probably another Combs, which is her niece. It was Linda Combs' niece who has been elected by the voters last October, ran in the election. She ran in the same election that Linda Combs also ran in and that was defeated in, and she actually prevailed and has been on the council since last October. And she was concerned that there was perhaps a conflict of interest that she had been told previously by not only her aunt Linda Combs, but also that had gotten information from the attorney when Sabrina Combs wanted to join the Economic and Development Board, that would be a conflict of interest because they were family members. So she had not applied for boards and commissions during that 6-year time.
What I heard, and I have to go back to the audio, was a slight variation of that, that the opinion was that there was a perception of a, not necessarily, but a perception of a conflict of interest.
There was a perception by two of the council members that there was a conflict of interest.
When Sabrina Combs was talking about the information she had received, they weren't saying, nope, you can't do it, but there was a perception, and that made it problematic. But
well, I think, and I think that the mayor had offered up that she and both her son had been on the council in previous years, although it must have been some time ago during her first time on the council, because it hasn't certainly been during my tenure, maybe
sure.
Worth my.
Well, all of that was what you're pointing to was a drifting into previous precedent-setting examples that weren't quite exactly like this. And then I began to feel as if that, well, maybe there was just too much being spent on this. Mr. LaFrance initially brought it up. There was an opinion given by the attorney. Basically, the question was, are we going to do anything about this that would affect this choice? And they eventually said no, and they went on to vote.
Yeah, I guess the only thing different about this I would see, and again, there's nothing in code that says that, was the fact that this was a candidate that had actually been rejected previously by the voters. In a previous election. I'm not sure that's what happened in the case of the current mayor's situation. But nonetheless, you know, Ms. Combs will be seated. She brings a lot of experience. She'll definitely be ready for the budget, which I, if she does prevail in the fall, that's always the timing of this is always, I feel kind of bad for people who come from the outside of this tight little network and have to face the budget only having been elected for a couple months before it's in front of them. And she'll definitely have lots of skills in that area. No one can underestimate her involvement in the community. She is very active, whether she's seated or not, it should be said. So I think you'll see her out and about probably just as much as you did before. And again, reminding everybody that she has to run again. So it'll be interesting.
Well, I think the bottom line, though, for me, was that this was not a unanimous decision.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what to read into that, except it was not.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, there's, it has been sort of a perception, the optics, so to speak, especially after, and I certainly did hear some feedback from people, in all fairness, about the optics of the city hiring Mr. Hansen after serving on the council for 18 years in a position that he doesn't really have a planning degree for, although none of us know who the other candidates were for the position, so you could then uniquely qualify for it. There is a perception, and I'll say this because I hear it repeated, that there is a little good old boy session going on, and that it's not as welcoming to outside. It's welcoming in the city, and I for people to come and visit and spend money, and but it's not as welcoming to join the decision making team of the city.
And of course,
I think that's fair feedback.
And of course, there's a counter to that in the sense that both the Public Works Director and the Airport Superintendent are new people from outside the system.
Oh, and so is the manager.
And the manager. So,
but I'm talking about the council, so to speak. Oh. The people on the council. Mr. Hansen was on 18 years.
Sure, sure.
Best might be this might be starting his 12th year. Linda Combs already had 6 years. The mayor's been there before. I mean, there is that perception of the decision making of the council, I should say,
okay,
is only open to certain people. And I think that's when they see something like this, that's a fair assumption to make.
Well, we'll see what this next election brings, because one thing that we have not mentioned today is the fact that the mayor is running for a seat in the U.S. House, presently occupied by Delina Johnson. Should she be elected, that means that her seat will come up, and eventually and potentially there could be four new faces up there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Before we leave the meeting, Mike, I do want to say, too, that there were some comments at the very brief comments. And one which I just want to bring attention to was also done by Ms. Combs of a topic that is certainly talked about in Palmer, and that's revisiting livable communities, the AARP Network of Livable Communities. And disclaimer, I'm actually elected state president for AARP, so I certainly certainly am in support of this. But they've applied for a grant, and Ms. Combs brought up the point that if they were thinking about applying for a grant for the money, she thought it was time to bring back livable communities to the table. So I'm hopeful that the experience that Ms. Combs brings to the table with that, knowing a little more about the program, that there'll be some support there. And we'll see what happens with that too, Mike.
Okay. Well, that pretty much wraps up the Palmer meeting short, but as we've just demonstrated, filled with all kinds of interesting decisions. We're looking ahead now toward the next. Well, there have been some meetings going on at the borough. Because our focus was on Palmer City Council, we weren't able to cover the assembly, but they've had some meetings over there as well.
Just one, as it turns out, Mike, just the one on the road bonds.
Okay.
We'll try to get an update for listeners on what they talked about that. There is going to be an early meeting next week on the 19th having to do with wetlands. I was thinking it was tacked on to the special meeting, but it turns out it's the 19th. So that one will start early next week for that one at 4:30. And then after, there's the regular meeting with it. And several things on the agenda that were kicked down the road, Mike, having to do with multifamily development, changing some wording on the marijuana ordinance, just land, another land use thing. So the carryover money for unassigned for the school district to carry over their balance at the end of the year. So there's going to be some interesting topics on that particular particular meeting, which will start next Tuesday at 6.
Right. I look forward to that. And then eventually they're all going to take a little bit of a break. I know that the school board will. But,
July. And then we can take maybe some look backs at some of these things we've had to briefly fly over because it became a little intense here with meetings.
Right. Got that. Well, I want to thank you for calling in today. It's always good to take a moment and think about what we witnessed and see if we remember it accurately. And also a reminder to listeners that we did have video going. That video is available. It's up on the website, radiofreepalmer.org. You can go there or you can go listen to the audio. It was streamed live. We're doing our best to make it as transparent a process as possible. So
any other meetings that have been streamed this week, Mike? Or
No.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Have a good day out there. Enjoy the sun and get out and see some minors baseball tonight. And there's always activities going on. And happy Father's Day to all.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Citizen Lobbyist.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.